Hey, howdy, hello, how's it going? It's me, Purple Thunder. We're back here on the PNTV podcast brought to you by the PNTV CC squad. We have myself, because, you know, I just fucking said my name. We also have our illustrious co-host, Sam Neal, who's here every week. He's totally in a good mood. He loves Byleth.
Fucking kill me!
That's the type of shit we're on. And now, our first ever, second appearance. I don't know, that doesn't make sense. First ever, second first appearance.
First ever, second appearance
for Jake!
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
Yes.
Like, also, that's bad.
Jake?
Don't say it like that.
Hey,
Hello. It's me, I'm here.
Welcome to the, second time you've been onto the podcast. How you feeling tonight?
Really tired, just got off work, literally walked in my door like 5 minutes before we started.
Oh yeah,
so
that's some dedication.
It's good. Hell yeah.
Yeah
Anybody watching this
just like furiously masturbate before this? No. I got off of work too.
I ate dinner. Like a normal person.
Sam, you can't call that work,
dude. That ain't work, bro.
I mean,
clock
me
work,
though. What can I say?
Anybody watching on Twitch, hello, thank you. You could be watching this VOD later. You can be watching this on YouTube. We appreciate that. We're on Spotify, Anchor, Breaker, Pocket Cast, all the different places you can find podcasts. So if you are listening to this right now and you're like, dag, I would rather listen to us on Spotify, you can wait it out, listen to this, and then later go watch it again on Spotify.
You can just deal with the fact that you're already here.
Yeah. And, why not watch it twice? You know, we're probably better the second time around. It's like reheated pasta.
I think I am going to start at work re-listening to podcasts.
I was astounded, okay? I finally have Bluetooth in my vehicle. So when I drive and I clicked on the PNTV podcast on Spotify to make sure it works. And then in the car, it was on. I was like, hell yeah, this is badass. That's my voice, bro. You know? How about that, Byleth, though?
Mom, that's me!
Bro, that's me!
I think that he or she is the epitome of mid-tier.
Hold on, we can get to that in just a second.
You just asked about Byleth.
No, somebody in the chat. Triple Braggins is here. Just chatting. We need to change it to just chatting. We can update
Corey,
it.
You're gonna give me an aneurysm.
Yo, Byleth, though. Yeah, we just started the PNTV podcast. What is this? What fucking episode? This is number 6. We have had 5 weeks in a row of this shit. Clap it up for that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, me and Sam Neal holding down the fort.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you guys just abandoned me and Corey every week. We only missed
1 week, and I think that was like Christmas. That was the only week we didn't do it so far, since we've started at least. So, yes, we're fucking around. Let's get into the first topic. Byleth, though. Okay, you've heard me and Sam chat a little bit. We want to get into Jake Neal, esteemed Fire Emblem man, Jake Neal. Let us know. What are you thinking, Byleth, though?
Yeah, the most seasoned man.
So sad.
that she's bad?
Not good.
She ain't good.
Officially not.
I think we can all at least agree she's not good.
No, mid-tier isn't good.
Well, okay. I don't care
average.
How bad. She just is not good. Hey, thanks for the host. We're back, and I appreciate that. So yes, officially Byleth is bad. I don't think anybody can dispute that. You can dispute how, high of mid-tier she is, but to me that doesn't fucking matter. Character's not good. There's over 70 characters in this game, and why on earth would you choose to play Byleth?
Because you like playing waifus, yeah, I guess. Or you like
there
playing
are other
bondos.
There are other girls in the Fire Emblem category, let alone in the game.
Well, think about it like this, is that not many of them are...
Well, word on the street is Byleth doesn't even actually look good in three houses. Like, she looks better in Smash. Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like her model looks weird in three houses?
Yeah, she just got, like, giant eyes. She got those anime girl eyes. Mm.
Bossum, I feel you there. That's actually our next point. Bossum said he's seen more people excited for the buffs than Byleth herself, which is very true.
Well, that's because that's degenerate Wi-Fi people who are excited.
I think it's cool to get buffs, just because Sakurai straight lying to us sometimes when they were like, yeah, we don't plan on changing the game too much. Then he'd be nerfing top tiers. He'd be buffing low tiers. He'd be making a brand new game.
Top tiers. Are you talking about Palu?
He'd still change things.
Joker wasn't that bad of a nerf. They just made him more balanced.
Did I say it was that bad? I said it was a nerf.
I hate you.
You were like, they didn't nerf anybody. They just nerfed Joker and Palutena.
Sorry, whenever I think of nerf, I always think of like...
They didn't kill anybody. The only character that like straight up had tier changes was like Pichu, and Pichu's still pretty good.
What about Ken, bro?
Well, I mean, like, lower, like, decrease in tier.
Ryu has become...
Yeah, dude, there has been a lot of characters to go up, which I always appreciate.
Ryu is scary now, and I am not a fan.
Maybe they try... I don't know why they're so set on making... Capcom called up Sakurai. He said, what is wrong with my characters? The person, Mr. Capcom himself, was like, what are you doing to Ken and Ryu? Sakurai's like, say no more. I'll give them actual moves. Ken mains, we move.
I'm sorry, yes, Mr. Street Fighter.
Mr. Street Fighter himself. He picked up the phone. Daigo. That's Mr. Street Fighter.
And Jump. Okay. Everybody's played Fire Emblem. You might not know it. Even your Emoto Paradise is Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem, the game.
It surprises me that you can sit here and try and get Sam to play... basically porn games, and you haven't played Porn Light in Fire Emblem.
He's got you there.
Got him.
Chump, get your shit together.
So we kind of segued into our second point here. So we're like mixing it together. So personally, I don't think Byleth is very good. Sam also doesn't think Byleth is very good. Sam wants to fight to the death that she's mid tier. He seems pretty bad.
Because, I mean, like, with the amount of ability that she can just sort of space people out, like, you can't be mid-tier, or, like, you can't be low-tier with that. Mm-hmm. Low-tier are characters who just get bullied around for no reason. Like, you still have to be afraid of what Byleth can do on the stage. Mm-hmm. If she has advantage, you're gonna hate your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like, just kind of like...
If Pup has advantage on me, I'm like, whatever, well, I guess. Well,
that's a Smash Ultimate thing. There's no character in this game that's like a Melee Kirby or like a Brawl Ganon. Or like, every character has something. They're not... I'm not gonna say you should run and hide from like every character in this game. Like, bottom five is definitely bottom five for a reason. But pretty much every character in this game like at least has that one thing where you're like, oh shit, hold on. You know? Yeah. So... I think Byleth definitely has a lot of tools that can make her good. Personally, I hope in the future she gets some kind of buff because it's a mad fun character to play. I've been having a fuck ton of fun. I had a video of me just fucking around on quick play and then getting into Elite Smash.
She never gets buffed.
Okay.
Statement.
Nug does. Nugs wants
Byleth. That was cheap. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Well, and you know how you said, like, every character has their issues and stuff, like, throughout the whole roster. I think, too, all the good characters have something. Like, you can point to the something that every good character has, and Byleth doesn't have that something.
Yeah.
Like, the upbeat feels like it could have been the something, but it's not.
It doesn't really work.
Yeah. All the time, and, like, yeah, she's just missing the something that would make her really good, and...
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. That's probably, yeah, a good indicator of a character being bad. Not like, oh shit, you know, they can't jump. Or it's like, well, you know, they don't really have, you know...
Yeah, like half the characters in this game can't land.
Yeah.
Technically can't land, you know, when...
Against a good character,
like, oh, they can't land against a good character, yeah.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't have anything else on top of that to make her stand out or be really good or whatever.
And another thing you have to understand, this is the mindset that I hate when people have. So some people will go into this game and be like, you should play a mid-tier or a low-tier, and that's what keep it fair. If you're a top-tier, like, you know, you're just a fucking tier whore and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, people think playing a top-tier is like going to like a height contest with like stilts. But really... You need to look at it like playing a low tier is like sawing yourself from the knees down. Like,
that's a very good way to put it.
Yeah, so playing Byleth, if people who pick a character because, you know, somebody like the king himself, Jackson, where he picks a character because he's like, I like their game, I like the character. Cool, that's fine. But you can't go into Smash Brothers and be like, oh, I'm better than you because I play a low tier. And it's like, you need to calm down. You need
Fuck
to calm
Gatling
down.
Gatling
Gold. So, yeah, there's just like, you can't look at this roster of characters and be like, Byleth. She doesn't even really have anything special. She's not that great. Yeah. Not even a great, you know, DLC character. There are other Fire Emblem. She's worse than Corrin, bro. That is laughable.
Oh, no. I would not agree with that.
She's worse than Corrin.
They're very similar in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's still not good. Still not good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not good.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not good.
So, besides Byleth here, along with the big buffs and nerfs, which have interested you so far? Is there any character you're like, you had your eye on, you're like, maybe if they get buffed, I'll mess around, and you're like, oh shit.
I touched all the characters that I cannot give more than three fucks about.
Okay.
I kind of like the Sheik buffs. I like watching Sheik.
Wait.
But,
I'm happy for all the Sheik mains from Smash 4.
Mm-hmm.
Same. I do not like the Shadow buffs.
Down smash into everything.
It's just, it feels like it's hard to make the Shadows good characters because they'll just be crazy. Like, there's no way to just make them a balanced character. Like, they just have to have some insane shit or they're just booty.
Yep, they're pretty polarizing.
Yeah. Blossom says, I feel like the concept of tier whores isn't as bad anymore, though. People play good characters without getting too much shit because why play a bad character? I think there's two sides of that because... One, like, between us, like, we're all in the mindset of let's actually try to be good at this game and stuff like that. But then there's the other side where there's just, like, the toxic internet that will just be toxic about anything. So they're like, you play Palutena. Like, I don't know why do people make fun of Palutena?
Well,
is that a thing?
Because it's, like, Cloud.
Yeah, Palutena is definitely the Cloud of this game, I will admit that. The Smash 4 Cloud of Ultimate.
I really liked, Zero made a tweet on the whole concept of high tier, low tier, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the fact that, you know, when we get down to it, the whole, like, the differences between characters as far as tiers, it's only really gonna matter at top level play. Like,
for sure,
when we're
yeah.
talking about us going to our locals and stuff, you know, in Nebraska we have Quaz, who's out there winning with
Little Mac, yeah.
Right? So, like, you can win with anybody
mm-hmm.
up to a point. And I think for most people, for most of the world, it's, you know, we're not at that point. We're not all Samsoras and
thanks JC Cross following.
But
I think that is a really solid point. I mean, you go back and look at history of even like fucking PNTV, the best person was like Robin at one time. You know, we had a fucking DDD win a tournament, you know, shit like that, like fucking, you know. Just like some bullshit happens, so Smash Bros is a weird ass game.
I guess wait, can you guys hear me first off?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying that Zero is saying that concept of high tier and top tiers is only at top level play or high level.
Well, probably it more noticeable.
The most difference yeah. there. You know, like characters
have
flaws, but
I don't know, because I feel like I get what they mean with I feel like the statement would be more true if high and top tiers are the most true at top level, because I feel like every level of Smash has its own little tier list, because I mean, like, no matter what you do, there's going to be characters that are better to pick
mm-hmm.
and certain like stuff. Like, let's say like you're really let's use the scenario where you're a very casual player and all your friends are casual players.
Mm-hmm.
Picking someone like Samus is insanely busted.
Well, I think that's
like
what
that.
It's more along the lines of like the traditional competitive tier list matters less outside of like
okay,
Genesis top
yeah.
32.
All
like
right,
that kind of
I
thing.
Can understand that.
Like outside of that,
sorry,
like at your local or with your friends or whatever, like the whole situation of like this character's for sure top tier, like it just all out the window. Smash is so versatile,
yeah.
It's not
wait,
just a competitive
wait.
It's barely a competitive game. So you know that the characters are all whack in different kinds of situations.
I interpreted that as different. Sorry.
You. Oh, you good.
The whole message is just like play who you like. Mm-hmm. Play who you vibe with.
No, don't play who you like, because if you like Byleth, I'm gonna hurt you.
Just do not play a whack ass character and then be mad when you don't win. Those are the type of people I hate. If you play Ganon and you go 0-2 and you're like, man, all these Palutena mains out here, shut your dumb ass up. Okay.
We do not incite Ganondorf violence in this podcast.
Okay. Speaking, hey, of Genesis 7, What'd you guys think of that? That was pretty interesting to watch.
Shark, was he making top eight? I was right.
Dan was correct. I see how it is. I've been casual since Smash 64, but casuals now are not even close to me, and then people who play type of competitively absolutely wreck me. That was literally the PNTV like mantra. Like, we all felt like we was hot shit when we walk in the library at gaming club, and then we go to a real tournament, bro. You go 1-2, that's the best day of your life right there. Like, that's some real shit right there. So, yeah, Smash, pretty much play whatever character you want. Unfortunately, don't play ZSS anymore. Even though Mars just won a tournament.
ZSS is still fucking good.
ZSS is still probably pretty good. That's just one major tool out the window, unfortunately.
Wow, you miss out. What was it? The berry? You don't have the berry anymore?
Yeah.
Oh no.
I mean, I don't play ZSS.
Cry me a river. ZSS can still, you know, fly across the screen at the speed of Mach 3.
I'm still saying ZSS is still pretty good. It was just a joke that Mars says ZSS sucks.
Oh no, I know. Mars is. Mars is. He's like. What is it? He's lobbying for ZSS buffs. He doesn't say that it's bad.
Oh yeah. You know it too.
I think it was a cool top eight to watch. It's one thing to sit up there and be like, "Dag, look at Mars go," but it's like you still got to take a look at MKLeo. His worst placing in like forever is still like second, which is crazy. He had some lower placings in the first season of Smash Ultimate, but throughout this whole last season and then now starting this one, his lowest placing is second, bro, at like one of these major tournaments. That is crazy.
Also, fun fact, this new season, Dark Wizzy has made every top eight of a tournament he's been in, and the only other person that shares that stat with him is MKLeo.
That's badass. Let's go Dark Wizzy. Possum says Barry's such a dumb mechanic.
Stan of all time.
I am not.
No, he's just a Mario stan. Dark Wizzy just happens to follow along.
Super nice. He's super nice.
Seems like a cool dude. I thought it was the funniest shit ever when he beat DaBuzz and they instantly I saw the tweet after where he explained it, but like just watching it where he instantly like was like saying all this stuff to him after he beat him, I was like, I'd be real mad if I was DaBuzz, but apparently DaBuzz actually asked him for advice like right after, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah, those two are like, DaBuzz is like, if you followed Wizzy back in the day, DaBuzz is like the big thing that pushed Wizzy up.
That's dope.
That's cool.
Because they would always be Wi-Fi-ing and like in Smash 4, like I would say the two matchups that Wizzy probably knew like the back of his hand was Sonic.
That man's
a fucking masochist with that matchup. And then probably Rosalina Mario, because the Buzz and him would Wi-Fi so often.
So yeah, I think Genesis was super dope. I like what we're noticing. Obviously, there's still gonna be, you know, crazy upsets that happen in Ultimate, but I think it's a lot more chill than Smash 4.
Smash 4 got me mad.
I like, you know, a good upset, you know, as much as the next guy, but personally I like it when the better player wins. I have a problem when random ass people be making these huge ass wins and then they don't ever do shit again. It's one thing if you make an upset and you're like this hidden boss and, you know, you start taking some other W's here and there, you're like, oh shit, this guy's actually what's up. Or if you're like, what was the one ZS set that beat Zero and I don't think I saw his name again after that. Like shit like that.
I see him on Twitter every so often, but yes.
Shit like that. That is some Smash 4 dumbass shit. So I'm glad Ultimate, we're at least seeing the better player win a lot more of the time, at least. Now, I'm not going to say 100% of the time. You know, there's still some whack ass jank in this game. I definitely saw my man Gluttony just get hit with a banana 100 times and die. That was pretty epic.
Pyramid's Geaton, baby.
You know, we still have infinites in this game in 2020.
Corporate America still shows through games.
Fucking. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, I think Ultimate is in a pretty good spot right now. People are still able to argue about who the best character is. I thought there was like a tiny point where people were set on Joker, but I don't think so anymore. I think people are still down to argue about it.
What are people?
I am one of those people who Joker. They still think Joker is, but I think Pikachu is.
Okay. I heard Pikachu. You hear Peach. You hear Palutena. You know.
The hard thing about arguing that Pikachu's the best in the game is that Esam's the one who has results with Pikachu.
I mean, that could be said for a lot of characters. Wrong.
That's the other reason why it's hard. It's because you're wrong.
Because you're wrong.
You're dumb, so.
Well,
But also on the flip side is that really the only Joker who has results is Leo, but like Joker also, you're like, Arsene exists. So
yeah, you can't say that character's bad when my man literally gets just a second person to help fight him mid-match. And it's not even like some ice climber dumbass shit, like he actually has kill power. So
excuse me, Nana has kill power.
When
When you beat the shit out of someone with your hammer.
Anyways, so this is there's literally
don't
no
you ignore me.
There's literally no segue for this. This is a topic Sam threw in here for last week, but we ran out of time. We actually had some mad good conversations last week. But this, so this is like tiny bit a little late on this news, which is ironic because 2020 has been the year of delays so far. And surprisingly, on the podcast where Jake was here last time and Isaiah, when all four of us were here, we actually got a good conversation of games we were excited for this year. But a lot of big names have in fact been delayed, some of them more than others. So there was a Final Fantasy VII remake that was delayed about a month. Cyberpunk, that was the super big one, I think, that's pushed back from, it was like March to September. I know it's in September now. That Avengers game got pushed back. Dying Light 2, they straight up put that on the brakes. We don't know when that's coming back. So there's a lot of big games a lot of people are excited for are hitting the brakes. What's your take on it, Sam? What do you think's happening here?
It's like a good and a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like bad because I mean obviously games are getting pushed back and stuff. Yeah. But the fact that like these development teams are sitting down and they are saying like, hey, we need to make sure that we're actually putting out a good game,
yeah, a good
rather
ass game
than doing what everybody else does, and you know, EA cranking out boom 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 Madden 20, Madden 21. You know.
Yeah.
So like I'm happy on that, but I've also seen the flip side is some people will say that this is actually very bad because you run into situations like Telltale Gaming had where
they shut that whole shit down.
That will not shut the shit down. They ran their team into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They would overwork them and just pretty much run, like literally ruin their lives because they have to meet a certain, what is it, a deadline.
Yeah, I think from a PR standpoint, yeah, there's been a lot of like the crunch time is happening, like people that worked on like Rockstar, who was working on Red Dead Redemption 2, you know, there's a lot of ousting for them having mad crunch time and working super overtime. I think that was the game where they were working super overtime, but they were not getting paid extra for it and like all this shit. So there's a lot of like PR moves right now to be like, oh, we're going to delay our game. We don't want to make all of our employees go through this crunch time that everybody's talking about. It's like the new buzzword in the gaming industry. But at the same time, I think we're getting to a point now where games should just they should just be smarter about when they announce their game and then when they announce the release date. I think it's cool to delay your game, but like I think it's kind of messed up to just continually delay it and delay it. Jake, what do you think?
Final Fantasy.
It all depends on context, I think. Mm-hmm. Like always depends on context, because there are some times when games have been delayed and it's like really clear, like they just don't know what the hell they're doing. And then there's other times when a game gets delayed and then it turns out amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, like, time out. I want an example on when they clearly don't know what they're doing.
Because
I mean, you can say that, but like, I don't know a game like that.
You mean
personally.
like Metroid Prime, where they straight up shut that shit down? They're like, yeah, this was some dog shit. We're trying again.
Well, yeah, like I can't think of one off the top of my head because I was sitting here while you were talking, like trying to think. Oh yeah, what are my examples gonna be? And I thought of a good one for ones when it turned out great.
Mm.
But I couldn't think of one when it turned out bad. So thank you, Sam, for immediately calling me out.
I just wanted to know.
You know, it's less about, you know, whether or not the success of it was worth it, but delays aren't always gonna be
a good thing.
They're not always gonna be a good thing. They're not always gonna be beneficial for the health of the game. Mm-hmm.
I think
because it just honestly it just drags it out more, and then like you said, like if it turns out to be some dog shit, then
especially
it was all for naught.
Especially when it already has and we don't know, right, as consumers, as people who are outside of that industry, we don't know what's going on inside that game, because I can't think of the title, but I've heard of games that had, you know, you have one director and they want to go a certain way and they're butting heads with someone else, so that director leaves and a new one comes in, and then you just have like a big dysfunctional mess of what's going on, and like all those internal reasons why it's being delayed.
I know, it's on the tip of my tongue too.
I mean, there's a couple of games that are like in the category of like delayed indefinitely, like the newest Dragon Age game. I think that's kind of the victim of the same thing, where they're like fighting over what they want to do with it, and they just end up saying, ah, fuck it, we're not doing it at all. Boston brings up a good point. This is another Duke Nukem Forever for like 15 years. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they just kept changing directions just for it to turn out to be a fucking pile of shit. But I think the main point to take away from, at least as consumers, this is okay, because that March and April time frame, there were so many fucking heavy hitters there, and it almost makes me like, this is some tinfoil hat shit, almost makes me feel like some of those games got delayed because they don't want to smoke with each other. Like, we have a lot of huge AAA releases in a 2-month time frame, and it feels like they're kind of they're like, oh, maybe we could actually take a break here, because we don't want to get overshadowed by some of these other games.
I mean, that is a very solid point.
Yeah,
I feel like that's not a like a far-fetched idea. But what I was gonna say is, it wasn't gonna be anything like saying like, oh, this is good or bad or anything. Mm-hmm. But I think it's much healthier for when a development team announces why they're like, in the case of Cyberpunk 2077, they literally said the night market is full of shit. We want to make sure that it all works. That is a very good way to go about it.
Totally going to jump in there and say the same thing. Like, that transparency
is so
strong. And, like, as a consumer, you want to have that trust with that company and be able to say, okay, this is why they're doing it. All right, I will buy into what you're doing. Like, you know, when they talked about Metroid Prime 4 for Switch.
And please,
like,
understand.
You know, yes.
Please understand.
Everything with how we're doing it. And then so we're like, you know, okay, we've been waiting for freaking ever, but we understand. Like I said, please understand.
By
the way, Sam, sorry to cut you off. I remember my bad example. Mighty Number 9.
Oh, Mighty Number 9, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yikes.
Like, they spent so much money getting into that. And this is, you know, when I was talking about context, it's a Kickstarter but it's also one that we trusted to make a good game. Their company, like, they had made a good game before, and so everyone's like, cool, let's make another one. And then they totally fell flat on their face. Everything in that game was horrible. Despite them continuing to delay that game, it was just a bad one. And a good one is Breath of the Wild. Remember they delayed that one too to make sure everything was going through?
I forgot about that.
We don't even remember, because
it came out good.
Because I remember, because I was listening to the Triforce podcast, and they brought up how it got delayed, and I was like, wait,
did that game
get delayed? I just completely forgot about it.
For a while, too, I think.
The company I accept it the most from is usually Nintendo, because they always have that great Nintendo polish on their games. I mean, the game itself could be really bad, but they always have that extra level of Nintendo polish on there that they at least try to get out on the game so it works correctly, works good. And I think the main reason for that is because Nintendo is notorious for just not fixing shit after it's already out, so they need to make sure they stick the landing, because if it sucks when it comes out, if it's broken when it comes out, that shit is never getting fixed. That is never getting fixed. So Nintendo pretty much has to. Boss says, I think Breath of the Wild was supposed to come out in 2016 before the delay. Interesting, okay. Mm-hmm. Was it supposed to come out on the Wii U then? Because wasn't a launch title with the Switch? Interesting. I mean, I actually played it on the Wii U. I just didn't know it. So I think that was probably a good thing, honestly, that it was supposed to line up with the Switch. Because I don't think that's supposed to be a console seller, and it's chilling on the Wii U. And for me, that's exactly what I did. I was like, I don't have any plans to buy a Switch. I remember eventually I bought it because I was like, this Smash Brothers is going to be on this motherfucker one day. And that was a wise investment. But, yeah. So, I think overall delays can be good. We'll just have to see. That's the bottom line here. I think the most interesting one is Square Enix. Not only did they fucking release Kingdom Hearts 3, and now they're also releasing the Final Fantasy VII Remake. That is crazy. People said they were never going to release this shit. They were going to hold on to this forever. Because the number one thing is, we don't know what else they have. Like, do they have anything left now that they have these titles out there? They don't have anything else to hold over our heads. So
they could always bring back Silent Hill.
They could. I mean, that's actually was brought up. Silent Hill, there's going to be two new projects.
I was gonna say that I hope that it's not like Kingdom Hearts 3 with Final Fantasy 7, because Kingdom Hearts 3 is hot garbage.
I think that's the word on the street. I haven't played it, so I can't.
They said that the DLC is sort of like bringing it back. I know some friends who like super love Kingdom Hearts, and they're like, yep, Kingdom Hearts 3, it's a pile of dog shit.
Silent Hill is Konami.
Konami. Mm. Whoopsies.
Why was I thinking that in my head too? Konami. Well, yeah. Oh, okay. It's stuck in my head too. Because we have Kojima on this list. But yeah. So the next. This is a major point in my mind. I don't know if you guys care about this, but Elder Scrolls 6. We've known it's been in development. Elder Scrolls, you know, Skyrim, Morrowind, Oblivion, you know, the like. They're always huge games. Skyrim is the game that will never die. You know, it's going to be ported to the fucking 3DS or whatever. You know, it's going to be everywhere. They just can't let it go away. So Elder Scrolls 6, we knew it was in development. It actually got announced, I think, at last year's E3, but Bethesda had two different, like, you know, where they have the PNGs they announce, where it's like Elder Scrolls 6 and that's it, and then it's like Doom Eternal and that's it. Like, it doesn't have any trailer, no CGI, no nothing. It's just fucking PNG of the logo. But Elder Scrolls 6, they recently, there was like this thing where they put out an ad, they're trying to hire more developers. So I think Bethesda, they really need to get this shit correct. I think Bethesda has been on everybody's shit list for a long time now, pretty much since, you know, Fallout 76 was a huge fucking misstep, and they've been lying to everybody about Fallout 76, and they keep trying to fix it, but it makes it worse. What do you guys think, Kent?
They didn't try to fix it.
They just add more things to it. I don't know if they're fixing it.
Maybe in recent months they've been trying to fix it more, but like, overall, that game's gotten like that. There was that one time that they dropped a patch, and they made it pretty much so you have to buy stuff.
Yeah, they have microtransactions. They had like the random battle royale part they added in there. They just keep adding shit in there, and it's like, I think there's even like a subscription model that you can pay for now, and it's like, bro, I don't think they understand anything that the people want right now, which is really sad, because they used to be them boys. People used to be excited. I remember Skyrim, you know, shit like that. Fallout. People used to be loving these games, and now Bethesda's on the shit list, so. Jake, what do you care about Elder Scrolls 6? You gonna be playing that?
Yeah, well, to me, this is their flagship. Mm-hmm. Like, they need this to not sink, because if it sinks, I don't know what they're gonna do next.
Exactly.
It really has to live up to expectations. So whatever they need to do to make that happen, they need to do it. You know,
they gotta pull out the stops.
They gotta like knock it out of the park. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will probably play it as long as it doesn't Fallout 76 us.
Mm-hmm. But, you know. Yeesh. I think that will literally, even if this game is like middle of the road, I think it might be quite the bad time for Bethesda. Bossum also brings up, there are so many beloved companies that have been taking some fucking nosedives. BioWare is another one that comes to mind. BioWare, it is absolutely so sad to see them in the state they are in. They recently developed Anthem, which some people thought was the worst game of last year. It was at least one of the most disappointing. I mean, most people were already pretty wary of it when EA is making a Destiny. You know that shit is going to be the fucking Antichrist when that shit comes out. So I think most people were pretty hesitant to be excited, and it came out, you know, not great. And then they just kind of gave up on it. They're like, fuck it, nobody likes it. It turned out dog shit, we can't fix it. And BioWare, you know, that was another company just in the same vein as Bethesda, where everybody was like, hell yeah, this is such a great company. They made, I think they're behind Mass Effect, which, you know, beloved series. Even if you don't like it, you at least know that people really be vibing with that. BioWare also made Dragon Age. That's another series that everybody loves. It's like one of the cool RPGs people talk about. I believe they're behind the KOTOR games, Knights of the Old Republic. I played Knights of the Old Republic 2. That game is badass. And it's just so sad to see them be from one of these great RPG makers down to the fucking dumps with EA. You hate it. You hate to see it. But this is the games industry, and you know they are on the chopping block after Anthem. And it would not surprise me if this is the end of BioWare, and it's just depressing. The games industry is depressing.
Well, we also have some uplifting things, right? There's so many good indie games out there.
True.
And all those
Hollow Knight
teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thinking Hollow Knight and Shovel Knight and Slay the Spire.
If you have Knight in your thing,
you got places. Yeah. You got waves.
For real, though. Mm-hmm. But there's. It might be like a shift away from AAA development into smaller teams who are working on more heartfelt passion project kind of deals, you know?
I think so.
I will always support that, you know, if they put their heart into it and it is a fun game, like, I'm all in for those guys.
And it's easier than ever to get your game out there into the world, so.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You should look at, I don't know if you've ever done it, but like, go to Steam and look through their newest releases. Like,
oh, there's a fun
one. Oh my god, it's easier than ever yeah. to get your shit out there. Mm-hmm.
Sam, what do you think? You gonna play Elder Scrolls 6?
No. But that's just me personally. I've lost respect for Bethesda. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be a good game. I'm not gonna try to say, oh, don't. Like, obviously, people are gonna buy it no matter what.
Yeah.
But,
I'm on that list. But, I have so much time in Skyrim, is not even funny. I cannot turn down a sequel.
My only real big thought about how like games have been going down like this gross road of not really providing great products is mostly because like the video game industry is big enough now to where
maybe exploit
corporate greed is more of a. Like, it is like those, like, we need to, like, Call of Duty. Call of Duty is a perfect franchise to describe what corporate greed is.
They got two studios just so they could pump out a title every year. No, they have a third, too, because they have what? They have Treyarch.
Sledgehammer, Treyarch, and...
what's the one that makes Activision fucking Modern themselves. Warfare? I thought there was another one that made Modern Warfare. They got enough studios to pump out a game every year, and that is some crazy shit.
Yeah. And it's just, like, with that corporate greed stuff, it just gets so hard to start, like, trying to change
the game.
Not change the game. Yeah, change the formula.
There's just, like, if you know you're going to make...
As long as people buy... It's like that discussion we had last week with Pokemon. How, like, it doesn't, you know, you need to vote for your wallet.
Where that, because they don't, it's just hard when these big fucking corporate companies, like, you just know. Activision, they had, like, record profits last year. You know how fucked up that is? Like, these huge-ass companies are making all this money, and everywhere you look, people are complaining about their shit, and it's just the fucked world we live in, you know?
It's a horrible thing because, everybody falls into that cycle of whether, like, okay, they do decide to vote with their wallet, but let's say, like, how I said last week, if you're a content creator of said game and you don't like it, if you don't get it, you're losing out on all viewers who are trying to see what the new game looks like.
Just Fox and the consumer.
It's just such a vicious cycle that, like, unfortunately, it'll be really hard to escape because Nintendo is the exact same way. Nintendo has some games that I mean, like, albeit Nintendo's one of the better ones that like actually have some very high quality games, but like with Pokemon, it's very hard to find a new good Pokemon game nowadays.
Temtem.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's amazing.
I'm gonna probably make my own video on Temtem, but basically the rundown is it's got some good ideas. They got a lot to learn. That's what it feels like.
I mean,
like.
But at least they're...
It's a good start.
They are making...
It's on the horizon. People was fucking talking about this shit. Every time there's an article about Temtem or a review, they have Pokemon in the title. Temtem, the Pokemon killer. Temtem, Pokemon MMO. Like, so you know, at least somebody at Game Freak has to know this exists, and somebody at Game Freak has to go, oh shit, Maybe people are not so happy with Pokemon. It was overhyped and it hurt the game a lot, I think. I think personally what hurt the game a lot is that the first fucking week it came out, it didn't work. that's a major thing.
That's an MMO thing, though. Mm-hmm. That's just an MMO thing, in my
opinion. It's really hard to get an MMO to work correctly on launch.
I mean, like, freaking vanilla, when they dropped vanilla, what is it, Warcraft?
WoW Classic.
WoW Classic. Mm. It was fucking awful.
The queue times and everything, yeah.
Yep.
You gotta wait hours to play that shit.
Jacob, so this is off topic, I apologize. Jacob, have you played Gungeon long enough to get the door boss?
Yes.
Okay, I've heard that it's a very rare thing. And I've gotten it twice. I want to shoot it.
You're just a lucky boy, bro.
No, I am not. This is not luck. This is... Oh, no. Okay, continue back with
Armor. Bosm says that Final Fantasy MMO didn't work for like 2 years, I think. Yeah, for sure. And then didn't they straight up, they like started over? Because it's like called Reborn now. Which is nice. It's nice to see a game company do that. A lot of people were actually saying Anthem needed to do that. They're like, they need to scrap that shit down. They need to take the road where they're like, sorry, our game sucks, we're gonna try again. And unfortunately EA took the coward's way out and they're like, ah, fuck it, Anthem's done, we don't care anymore.
Another super good example of that, and I was thinking about Imagineat, we were talking about Fallout 76.
Mm-hmm.
But No Man's Sky,
that's true. They
same thing.
No Man's Sky is actually a depressing example when you look at the details and stuff, because they promise you all these things before the release, and then when it came out it was like mega half-baked.
I think
the reasons behind that, there was like underlying shit, like their studio got flooded and all this stuff, and they lost all this progress and they still had to hit deadlines. I mean, it's still not great that they put out a game that was not amazing, but you play that game now, it might as well be a completely different game. It is. You could have a whole different title that would be, nobody would fucking ever know that was No Man's Sky. I think that is a success story right there for No Man's Sky.
I refuse to give that game a second chance.
That might be a good example of a game that should have been delayed.
Mm-hmm. I think it's...
Going back, circle back.
Mm-hmm. It's a great example of a game, getting fixed. And it's the two sides of the argument here, because I've been hearing this a lot lately, because I think it was somebody at Nintendo, I want to say it was Iwata or someone like that, I might get this quote wrong, but they were just like, you have to make, basically the gist is, they were saying you have to make sure the game is good when it comes out. But I think it was somebody on the other side of it, I believe it was Todd Howard, Bethesda guy, who was like, who said it's not about how the game comes out, it's about what it becomes. And if that is not the most ass backwards shit I've ever heard,
that's the most American way to say
that. The dumb. That just shows the culture difference there. Like I said, those are just the gist of those quotes. You could fucking try to fix that on your own. The duality of man, yes. But yeah. That, so
that's actually,
it's just corporate greed right there. Like, it's just a thing. And
that's literally that, because like, that's the idea that, oh, if the people like it like this, we don't have to do anything more, we don't actually have to try.
And it's just one of those shitty things, because like 90% of a player base, if they pick up a game and it's dog shit at launch, doesn't fucking matter if they fix it, 90% of the player base is not coming back to that. You got your Sam Neill here with No Man's Sky. They might not even know it got fixed, because they're like, I don't give a shit about this anymore, I spent $60 and this game was bullshit, and you're just done with it. You just move on. So it just hurts. Just put out a good game at the start.
Can I tell my No Man's Sky story? Am I allowed?
Go for it. We're on the topic.
So basically why I viciously hate that game is because I purchased it like any excited young man did. And so I'm playing and I'm in the tutorial. Mm-hmm. And I think because of their pre-order bonus, I got a ship.
Okay.
And the thing is that you don't get a ship in the first couple bits of the tutorial until later. They teach you how to make it. But the game, seeing I had a pre-order ship, was like, wow, this guy already knows how to build a ship. So they never taught me the crafting thing for the ship. And I think my ship like blew up. And
it sounds like a Sam problem to me.
I was stranded. No. Well, I mean, yeah, but like, they don't. I couldn't figure out how to reset the thing because it just wouldn't let me. And then on top of that, it was just like, yeah, you're fucked.
fucked, bro.
Sucks to be you.
Sam, that story sounds like when I was 4 and I couldn't figure out how to get out of the house in Pokemon.
Shut up. I knew that's exactly what you were going to say.
Okay. All right. We have a couple of more
topics.
People
don't come here to my channel for good gameplay. They come here for me being an idiot.
I thought, whoa. I thought it was flipped. I thought in the Pokemon Nuzlocke, they're like, you go to Sam for progression, you go to Corey for flair. That's literally what they would tell us. Anyways.
You're a YouTuber, I'm not.
Okay. So we touched on this a little bit earlier. Boston brought it up in the chat. There are some rumors and some things happening with Kojima after Death Stranding. He's now said that he's going to work on some smaller things, like some smaller games. There was like, he said, there was reports he was going to work on like some movies and some manga and like all this different other kind of stuff. Not like a big budget, huge game like Death Stranding was again. Which kind of, it's kind of cool that we actually waited a little bit to talk about this because this was news from last week. But then I think recently there is news that Konami... at least confirmed, or it's rumored that there is going to be two new Silent Hill games. So it's interesting that these two parties, who are completely separate now, are kind of moving at the same time. And there is, obviously, there's going to be the speculation that they link back up. I have no fucking clue how that would happen. Obviously, there's no, you know, confirmation or anything like that. So I'm going to look this up right now just to make sure I don't sound like an idiot. If you just type in Silent Hill on Google.
So I'm going to tell you, hearing that Kojima is going to go into anime, manga, movies gives me super Kanye West 2020.
I have an article right here. Konami confirms a new Silent Hill game is being considered. So confirming something being considered is the most convoluted fucking bullshit I've ever heard. But it's floating around there. Obviously not confirmed, but it is interesting that these two parties are kind of moving. If we come back in a year and absolutely nothing has happened, wouldn't be surprised, but it's at least interesting to throw out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really much about this, like, to say about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be like a big old, like, fuck you, Kojima, for your recent success.
Mm-hmm.
Kojima.
Yeah.
Silent Hill. Silent Hill is I believe it is Kojima's baby. Mm. So I mean,
well, yeah, anything Konami.
More interesting is how much it's gonna fall to shit without him. Because that man, as you can see with Death Stranding, can make some trippy games.
He can make whatever he wants, bro.
And that's basically what Silent Hill is. Mm. It's like one big old bad.
Awesome. I'll take your word for it over any news outlet, just simply because. Doing my own research, it's some crazy shit. So Bossom says, I remember hearing this report. So Konami, you know, around the time they split up with Kojima, there was Metal Gear Solid 5, and they basically were like, we're not gonna do this. And that's when they were like, no more PT, even though everybody really loved it. And they're like, no more, you know, Metal Gear. We're gonna fucking make Metal Gear Survive or whatever. So since then, Konami really hasn't been in the limelight since then. So it's interesting. The Silent Hill reboot was Kojima. The first four were all the original team. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So Kojima's only been Silent Hill related for a tiny portion of the whole discography. I don't know what the word is for video games. It's not discography, but yeah. It's just an interesting situation.
Gameology.
Yeah, gameology. What's it called? What's it called in Smash where they have like the list of all the old ass games? The Chronicles mode or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
And like Brawl, where they had like the extra menu where it showed like, here's the NES and every game that was ever on the NES. It was like Chronicles, whatever. Fuck this. Anyways, it's just weird. Konami, Kojima, you never know what you're going to expect with these two fuck faces. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. They're on the move. That's all you need to know about. Cool, cool. Next up.
They're cooking.
They're cooking.
They're making some food.
So this is kind of a random one. I like to throw some of these in here just to... not necessarily pad out the podcast because we actually been going for a while now.
He's basically saying that I'm talking too long on some stuff and we need to change the subject.
No, I have like a section here of like things we could fit in any podcast. They're not really news related, which is kind of just where we fit randomly into like a news section where, you know, it's just some chumps give you the news. That's what this should be about.
Oh God, if that's the case, this is very bad because I am not paying attention.
I say headlines and people around me react. That's what the show is, pretty much.
Okay.
And then people chime in with, oh yes, I've heard that. Or, oh yes, that sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. We should all become scholars the next one. Be like, yes, quite. Byleth.
Byleth. Garbage.
Jake, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Child. I'm going to put you on the spot. Headline here. What three games, if you died right now and they gave you, so you know in Smash after a match they give you that long ass stat sheet that nobody reads, you just skip and go to the, so if you had one of those pop up when you died and it showed games you've played the absolute most, what would be on there? I'm thinking more franchises here, so don't be like Melee, Brawl, Smash 4, like don't, like not like that, like three franchises you've played the most.
Yeah, so...
Oh, no.
Probably...
Sam, get to thinking.
It's really close.
Okay.
If Jacob needs more time, I can say mine.
Between Smash and Pokemon for me.
Okay.
Probably Pokemon takes it out, if I count all the time that I've spent playing competitively, too.
Mm.
But those are probably my top two. Then, like, Fire Emblem, maybe? I don't know. I don't usually spend, like... huge chunks of time with one game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But definitely by far Pokemon Smash.
Gotcha. That's a pretty easy answer.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, what you cooking with?
So first off, probably Smash.
Yeah.
Large portion. And then we go into Pokemon because, you know, we grew up with it. Then number three... Binding of Isaac.
That's funny. I forgot about Binding of
Which
Isaac.
Which is what I'm switching to right now.
I think for me, I think Pokemon Smash is probably my top two as
my
well.
My God, we're so diverse.
I was going to say, we're so cool. We're
Nintendo
Smash
fanboys not here.
Smash is such a weird... It was definitely... I had like over 1,000 hours on the Wii U. And then I had... Smash somehow on my 3DS, that was also my most played game, which I honestly, when I looked at that, I was pissed. I was angry that I played Smash that much over Pokemon, over anything. I was like, fucking goddamn it, you fucking loser, you play Smash. Like people make fun of me. They'd be like, you just play Smash, you're not a real gamer.
Right now I have so the top two games on my Switch are Smash with over 600 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isaac, which is over 125 hours right now.
I believe that. And for Smash, it's another thing. You can look at your own Switch, but think of all the time you have on other people's Switches too. So like when we have Pinnacle and everybody's over, like think of how many hours you'd be gaming. You go to a tournament,
how many friendly sessions you do.
Yeah, there's all kinds of shit. So that's one of those things. So that's probably where most of my Smash comes in. Pokemon, I've been playing. Pokemon was one of my first games I actually played. So, and I played every generation, so it's really hard to not have that on my list. And I think three might be Minecraft.
Ooh. It's not Naruto.
Naruto, Gekito, Ninja Tyson 4? No, it is not. Yeah. I've played that game for max, like 2 hours, which is unfortunate. Oh. I would play the shit out of that game.
I gotta add Splatoon.
Splatoon! Oh,
like,
shit, yeah, you're Splatoon.
400 hours in Splatoon.
It. Well, Sam Neill. Sam Neill, Jake Neill, fucking Switch Masters. I think if you look at Smash and then every other game I've played on the Switch, I think you add up all the time of the other games, they would not even be half the time I've played Smash. My Switch is purely a Smash machine, and not even by choice. It's just, I don't even have any other games really on the Switch, which is sad because there's actually a lot of cool games on the Switch.
Yes, like Aviary Attorney.
Aviary Attorney, coming soon.
You play as birds, mm-hmm. And you solve cases.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's been on that's been on Steam for a long time, and it's coming to the Switch soon.
I want to buy it.
I am going to buy it when I have money.
They're like the main bird. He's dressed like fucking Sherlock Holmes. It looks like really cute, but I think it's actually really serious at the same time.
I'm gonna send you the trailer right now that Jackson.
Okay, we're gonna play together. We're gonna play it together.
Yes, I'm showing you.
It was pitched to him by Jackson. Right now. Yeah, Possum said yes. Aviary Attorney looks so cool. Oh my God. I think it's so. I I only know about this game like for a very random reason. Like some YouTube channel I used to watch like years ago played it, and it was I think the Game Grumps have also messed with it before. It's just really funny that it's just kind of made a resurgence because it's coming to the Switch. I sent Jackson that video, who sent it to Sam. So Bossum is the originator of Aviary Attorney.
Bossum
is the hive mind here.
Bossum, bless your heart.
Literally made my day today.
Aviary Attorney.
I'm so happy.
Fucking Aviary Attorney. That's so funny.
You are the origin of me buying another Attorney game.
Badass.
Oh my god, he looks so badass.
And the best part is I really like the art style, so.
Hell yeah. I think it looks like a cool game, too. I will for sure watch Sam play Aviary Attorney, so we can pin all his successes to Bossum.
Do we stream it, or do I YouTube it?
Both!
God!
Not record separate. Bro, it is 2020. Sim. I'm recording and live streaming at the same time.
I know.
The content diversity. You people in the chat, you want to know how you can make it big? You gotta post something every day. Okay, that's the PNTV mantra. I'm the only one following it. Sam, low-key following it. Jake?
Not low-key, very badly.
Speaking of which, Jake? Jake, did you fulfill the promise? Here you are on the podcast.
I was close.
He was close? Jake?
And then I faded away.
Jake, you need to admit your failures to the podcast. People don't know what we're talking about right now.
Sorry.
You let the people
gonna be ready.
As long as you understand that you have to be crucified now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit.
Hey.
It's okay. I look really good in a T pose.
And the thing is, Jacob, I know I speak for myself here. There will be no clothes.
What the fuck? Anyways, Jake made the PNTV content creation squad Discord a promise. I don't know if it was a promise, but more of a firm statement that he would have his channel and everything ready to plug by the next time he was on the podcast. Doesn't sound like it happened.
Isaiah's been avoiding it.
Isaiah also has been. Maybe that's why. Okay, I just texted Isaiah. Last couple times I texted him and asked if he's going to be on the podcast, he has a reason. Today he said, no. So maybe he is avoiding the fate of Jake Neal. At least Jake is strong enough to face us.
I will let you have your clothes back for the
Christmas. Embarrass me on live television.
Mm-hmm. With the people here.
Chump, that's exactly when I started playing it. So we have the same amount of hours, and you can fuck off. It first game I streamed.
Bossum, you'll fill in for Isaiah. I have the perfect way to incorporate Bossum into the podcast. You turn into a new show. And instead of the weather, we have like the Kojima Konami section, and we toss it to Bossum, and he's just the expert on that.
Toss it to Bossum.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Bossum for weird ass Silent Hill news. Bossum? Well, Corey, Kojima's at it again. I think that's a million-dollar idea right there. That's a clean, easy topic to talk about, because even if there's no news, there's gonna be news, because Kojima's the type of man to just be generating some shit to talk about him. I thought it was crazy
whether,
as hell when...
Whether it's insulting Americans and saying that they don't understand his video games.
That was actually some crazy... That was funny. He says he'll cover Capcom 2? Perfect! We just have Bossum, the two company specialist, and it's just like your moment. So some second, some Dante shit is happening, some fucking Street Fighter shit is happening. Let's get Bossum on the podcast. Action. Expert.
Hell yeah.
It's gonna be like Moneyball, where they get the one guy and he's the expert in the stats and stuff. And be like, we need that guy right there. Perfect.
I just really like toss it to Bossum.
Toss it to Bossum.
Sounds so good.
Stay fresh.
Stay fresh.
Yeah, Bossum. If you do this, you have to have some sort of corny line. Mm. Like, you have to do it straight face too. Mm.
Straight face.
Serious as hell.
Stone cold killer. Bossum.
Tossing it back to you.
Tossing it back.
Catch. Yeah.
Okay. I believe that is a clean hour, I think. Unless my math is off.
We're close.
Perhaps.
We're good enough. We try to aim for that hour time frame. But
I already wanted to
want to go back to Smash. Kill me.
Dude, Byleth again. Bossum said his catchphrase is, I'm the Bossum baby.
Perfect. You're perfect.
Stay fresh.
Next week.
All right. I think that is a literally amazing way
to
end
it. I do want to say that I mega appreciate the fact that you always end up tuning into these.
Oh, yeah. It's badass. We always have the support from
Bossum. You're usually always here. Mm-hmm. And, you know...
You're really just going to step on my man Chump like that?
Chump is only here like half the time. And Chump always asks me weird questions that I have to ignore.
Well,
I tell Chump though in my streams that I always super appreciate him, so he gets it there.
Speaking of your stream, Sam, let the people at home take it home. Where do we find you?
You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/z3raph. That I stream every Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh,
that's a lie.
Fuck you, Chump.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Did I say Sunday again? I do that sometimes.
Damn, you lie, Jerry.
On YouTube, it's the exact same thing, but just Google Z3RAPH. Mm-hmm. You can do it all caps. It'll probably come up much easier that way.
He posts every Twitter. Wednesday, and never. It will never divert from that.
Yeah, that. That. Why do you have a profile called Help Me? I think that was Brock. We'll look real quick.
For me, you can find me, Purple Thunder NE, twitch.tv/Purple Thunder NE. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram. I'm on this new platform called Byte. I'm going to test it out next week. I'll report back with how it goes. It's made by the people who made Vine. So, could be big.
Wait, what is it?
Called Byte. B-Y-T-E.
Is that like TikTok?
It's in that vein. It's like 6-second clips. It's an app, but it's made by the people who made Vine. So
it's time for us to have our resurgence on Byte.
Mm-hmm. It's time. It's time we'll become TikTokers, and then we'll have zero conversion because we're not that interesting on Twitter. And we'll just be Byte sounds interesting. Gonna have to take a peek. See, I'm trying to be in that headspace. You know, I'm listening to all these top tier influencers, and that's the thing they're talking about, where they're like, you need to find these platforms that nobody's on and then get big. When they finally get big, you know, I'm not gonna share all the industry secrets or anything, but hopefully next week I'll have things to report. Jake, where can we follow you until you actually get your shit together?
I only have Twitter.
Okay, that's good. That's better than nothing.
/JakeNeel, JakeNeel.
Oh yeah.
That's it. I will have a YouTube, and I do have a Twitch, but I haven't streamed yet, so I'm not going to worry about advertising. But hopefully next week you will see some hot and spicy content.
Oh yeah, you better. The dream is that you and Isaiah come on the podcast next week and you both have your shit, and it'll be like a fucking miracle. Because I was promised this stuff a month ago. And I have been wanting to watch Jake Neal.
To be fair, I had to move across the country.
That's true. Isaiah also had like some string of influenza. So, I mean, everybody really is justified, but we can still just give them shit and make them feel bad. So, you know, everything's fine.
Corey, are you going to play Smash with me after this?
Sure.
Jacob, do you want to also?
You were very definitive with your statement of I'm not playing Smash for the rest of the day, though, so I didn't really mark it on my calendar.
I got over it in an hour. If not, I'm...
Okay, well, let's end the podcast here. Thank you guys so much for watching. We're going to get the fuck out of here. See you next week for episode 7.
Peace.
Peace.